Trent Cotney and John Kinney are dedicated to helping the construction industry with legal, business, and safety challenges. Welcome to this week's episode of Law and Mortar.
Hey, this is Trent Cotney. I'd like to welcome everybody to another episode of Law and Mortar. As always, I'd like to welcome my friend, John Kinney. John, how are you doing?
Doing great. As always, I can't think of anything else I'd want to be doing right now than doing Law and Mortar with you. It's a lot of fun, buddy.
I agree with you, brother. And if I remember correctly, this is episode 87, right?
It is. We're getting closer and closer to that 100th episode.
Yep. Pretty soon we'll be syndicated, you know. Be like, you know, Seinfeld or something. So we both just got back from IRE, right? International Roofing Expo, for those of you who don't know. Huge event. You know, my guess is, I think they broke records this year, but I would think probably 15,000 people. They're packed. Vegas was raining and cold a lot of the time. Not your typical weather, but I thought, as far as an event goes, thought it went really well. You know, I thought it was real strong attendance, had good interaction. And I know you and I both spoke, and I guess what I want to do this episode is kind of talk about sort of our takeaways. You know, what did you pick up? What were your impressions? And then we can kind of go through and talk about it. So tell me, how was your seminars? What did you get take away?
Yeah, no, they were really good. I agree with you on the show. I liked the venue where it was at. It was packed. I did ask some of the IRE people what they told me there was close to 17,000. Wow. And honestly, going through the floor, I spent a day going through the floor. I can believe it, because I know, you know, from being in your booth, they kind of went through and swarm in groups. So there was a lot of people that hit that show, and it was good, other than the cold weather out in Vegas for us Floridians. But that was another story. But yeah, no, I spoke twice too. I didn't speak till Thursday. So both of mine were on Thursday. I did one on estimating, and I did one more on operations following it. Both of my classes were full. You know, there's always open seats in any of them, but for the size of the big rooms, well attended. I think heard from other speakers, and I know you'll jump in a minute on that, all of it was well attended. I did notice a couple things different from this one than prior. I had a lot of first-time contractors visiting the show that we're sitting in, not just like first-time people from the same contractors. And I did have a lot more, which I know the National Women in Roofing had an extremely successful first 2 days out there with their board meeting and then their NWIR day. I had a lot of women roofing contractors in both of my seminars. So I see, I definitely seen a different mix this year than I have in the past. And I like it. I love seeing new people joining in for the first time into the industry.
Yeah. And, you know, standing in the booth, I got to tell you, I had a lot of people singing your praises after going to see your seminars. You know, you killed it like you always do. And I think, you know, on my end, I felt the same thing. You know, it was packed. I did, you know, one on the trade show floor for the exteriors group on regulatory issues, did the state of the industry of the Roofing Contractor magazine, and spoke on OSHA and some other stuff. And, you know, what was interesting, John, is I agree with you, you know, big, little bit of a different mix, a lot of first timers, some new faces, you know, National Women Roofing out in force, man. I tell you, I think they broke records as far as the roofing day. Had the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to their leadership and hear about their success. So, you know, kudos to them. The one thing that seemed to be a reoccurring theme to me was subcontractors. That kept coming up again and again and again. And, you know, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding out there about how to effectively manage your subcontractor workforce. You know, I think, you know, we both know that pretty much almost all of residential and, you know, the majority of commercial now is done by sub labor. And safety in particular, I was surprised that so many contractors were confused on, you know, well, do I supply them with my safety gear? What are the OSHA risk? And, you know, one of the things I try to do is say, look, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. The right way is to approach it top down, where you go to that crew leader, you go to that owner of that sub, you know, labor force or subcontractor, and you say, hey, you're in breach of contract. You guys need to be safe and make sure they're tied off. That's a lot different than going and, you know, showing a crew member how to put on a harness. So, you know, in every single presentation, regardless of what the presentation was about, it ended up coming back to subcontractors. I think there's A lot of contractors that just don't understand how to mitigate risk when it comes to their sub-labor force. So very interesting and dominated the conversations. Did you have any questions on that while you were
Oh
there?
yeah, it came out even in estimating. It's coming up, so hit it both from estimating and operations. Even in estimating, not giving a good scope of work to your subcontractor, your contract. You as a contractor are responsible for everything they do. I mean, you don't lose legal responsibility or moral or ethical responsibility for your jobs. You own it, and I think another mindset that I've heard a lot about is people. With the labor force shortages and the subcontractors, and I've always said this, subcontractors are only coming from one of two places. They are someone else's crew that decided to go out into the business, or they are take or when they're already exceeded in their or existing, they're hiring from other companies. There is no real such thing as a subcontracting force that is augmenting our labor force. They're just moving around. It's just moving pins around. And I think you even said it yesterday on your webinar you did on the state of the industry about there's good subcontractors and there's bad subcontractors. And that's apps, especially on the safety, quality in that end. And then on the operational side, I will caution contractors, you really almost need more supervision managing sub-labor than you did when you were managing your own crews, because you still almost need your own crew leader to manage each one of those sub crews. If you don't, legal issues, safety issues, quality issues, money issues, client issues, they just continue. So it's a new world. I think roofing contractors, or any contractor using sub, but roofing contractors especially, need to learn how to operate more as a construction manager if they're going to be using sub later than they do as what we're used to operating as a subcontractor.
Yeah, and we're getting there. It's just going to take time, but this is a shift in the industry, and I think everybody's trying to catch up
Big
to it.
shift, real quick,
Yeah.
too.
Oh yeah, I've been, a few years. I mean, even 3 or 4 years ago, I wasn't as big as it is now, right? So, one of the things I want to talk about before we get to our question is, I always like walking the trade show floor, especially at IRE, because there's new stuff or there's interesting stuff. Just curious, did you see anything that you thought was cool or different while you were walking the trade show?
Yeah, I saw that even some of your established manufacturers, we all know who they are. I'm not going to get into mention one because I'll forget one and, they'll be upset. But I saw a lot of new product innovations coming out. There are different product innovations. I think it's not only like I think we've been used to over the last couple of years, strictly in labor savings. I'm starting to see a lot more programs for the recycling of existing membrane going back to the manufacturer. I'm seeing that actually. Programs taking hold, sustainability. There's a lot more for the green and sustainable roofing products coming out that I see. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, I mean, honestly, there's always cool tools out there, and what I call toys, you can't miss it. I still somebody had a huge Peterbilt on the floor with a lift crane hooked to it. I mean, that kind of stuff I still love seeing. It's to play with big toys, but yeah, I think the show was well represented. Wasn't just coatings, it wasn't just membrane, it wasn't just ice and water shield or tile. Huge I thought the software section this year, which I found interesting. This is the first year we started to see AI be talked about more and more. So we talked about that on other episodes, and we'll have more coming out, I'm sure, on our next episodes. But it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out at the upcoming future IREs.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw the same thing you did. I was surprised there's some new product offerings, some new equipment, some new safety devices, things like that that are interesting. But I was surprised at the amount of software. And I think, even though the industry hasn't fully, adopted AI yet, it was a big theme, going from the keynote with Josie Parks speaking on it all the way to, I saw several seminars on the trade show floor dealing with it. So very interesting to see how that's going to be integrated and adopted within our industry outside of, just sales and marketing, what else it can be used
Yeah.
for. I got to tell you, in addition to seeing all the great stuff, I actually got some great swag this time, John. I'll be, thanks to
Good.
BP for my Tampa Bay Bucks hard hat, by the way. I stood in line for about 15, 20 minutes and was very happy that they still had a Bucks hard hat. So I've got that proudly displayed here in my office.
You're
And
lucky it was on the West Coast, the show, and the people in the Super Bowl were not in our area. So that's good. I'm
exactly.
glad you got that. And I remember you telling me you were
Yeah.
waiting for that. That's
Yeah, that
great.
I was stoked to get that. I got a few other things I brought home for the family, but yeah, always a good time. Had a great time, and you know, looking forward to the next few trade shows we got coming up here. So, John, I want to turn to questions, and because you know they're piling up, I'll be honest with you. You know, my it's we can only get to so many, but this is one that I thought was pressing, and I know this is a rifle shot for you, man, because this is right in your alley. So this one is from Wendy. Wendy has a question about she's just getting into the business on the residential side. I'm trying to summarize it here, and doesn't know how to price things correctly. Now, obviously, she's concerned. She don't want to go to our associations or other groups because she's worried about antitrust stuff, that kind of stuff. But you know, if you are the master estimator, right? You know everything. You train on it. You know everything about it. You know, what's some general, if you don't know how to properly price projects, let's say you've got familiarity, your family was in it, but you're branching out on your own, what are some good resources and what are some, you know, general things that contractors out there should think of?
Well, residential, yeah, I speak a lot on estimating and just give a shout out with FRSA. I'm actually having one estimating there, but this year we're having another seminar on estimating that really deals with what I'm going to tell Wendy here, that unit cost small business estimating. That's where you're starting out, right? Don't try to get a software that's going to estimate for you. Honestly, you need to learn how to put everything together. And I'm going to give this to you in a real quick 101. You want to estimate it exact. If you're familiar with the roofing, you want to estimate it exactly the way you would do it. If you're going to tear off, you got to account for that with your dumpsters and labor, et cetera. Your drying, right? Then you've got your shingles, your ice and water shields, your peel and stick, your valleys, your trims, your nails, whatever it may be, flashings. You got to list all those items out that's going to go into that job. Make a big list. And then you put your pricing next to it. Of course, you're going to get your material pricing from your vendors. And then you're going to get your labor pricing based on whether you're using a labor sub that's pricing you the labor as a unit cost or in-house labor for what it takes you to do it, how long you can do it. And at the end, you got to still account for your overhead. You need to know what that is. You got to get that close and mark it up. And then you make a profit decision, how much your profit you want to make on the job. That's a really fast 101. I couldn't can't go into much more detail on that. But please remember to build your estimate exactly the way you would put the roof down out in the field, and you'll
Yeah,
be good.
you made a real good point up front. You know, there's a lot of software tools and things like that, but you got to learn the fundamentals, right? You can use those things to help you and assist you, but you need to check, you know, trust but verify. You need to go in and make sure that you understand how to estimate a project. You know, don't just rely on the software or eventually the AI or whatever else is out there. You know, understand how to put something together. And you know, you learn a lot of what we do is on the job training. You know, some of the it only takes one you know, misestimate to understand, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and what did I
Yeah.
miss? And you know,
You learn real quick.
absolutely, absolutely. So, well, John, it's been a pleasure as always, my friend. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in to us. And you know, stay tuned. We'll try to get another episode out next week. You know, if you need to reach me, you can catch me on social anywhere at Trent Cotney or email trent.cotney@arlaw.com. John, how can they get you?
Same way, anywhere on social, and then you can email me directly at jkenny@cotneyconsulting.com.
Thank you guys so much and stay tuned for more.
Take care, everybody.